when the oxygen is gone from the American dream and these American streets listen close as they speak, the next time you think America, please include me. Help the ones that are weak. All they want is a piece of the pie that you keep. Is that too much to ask for those that laid the concrete? Still laying on concrete, pop, pop by police. See, they the foundation of the nation, not the 2%. Not the ones that own the building that the middle class rent, because they make sense. Tell me, how do you feel? I'm the new Franklin and I have the new deal. I fight and do right, FDR for real. One nation under God, God show us the way. The science of opinion, God is not a buffet. You pick what you want, so no God on your plate. The preacher isn't God, religion's first mistake. Servants, stewards, shepherds, not kings. Has to die to his flesh every day like me. One VIP, all the other seats in church are free. We're just groupies, God's the celebrity. Before 313 AD, before Constantine, before the Council of Nicaea, before Romans and Greeks, before Calvin, Alexander, Luther, before let there be, before history, to the last century, before the death on the tree, before the fall of man, was a picture of me. Nailed to his heart right before the last three words he would speak, it is finished. Can you believe? I'm losing my religion. Thank God, helping you lose yours is my job.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
He lets us know that God is for us. See, God is for us, and he proved that he is for us because he allowed his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And this means that When he allows his son to die for us, that lets us know that not only is he for us, not only is his son for us, but praise God, bringing the whole thing, the whole Trinitarian God together, the Holy Spirit is for us. Because God is for us, God is making all things to work out for our good. We just talked about that a couple of weeks ago when we look at Romans 8:28. And we know, praise God, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is something that I know. Praise God, that all things work together for good to them that love God and those who are called according to what? His purpose. Praise God. And since we know that, praise God, then we know, praise God, that we are, that God is in fact for us. You see, his person is for us. His provision is for us. God is for us. Sometimes we may think that things are working against us, when in actuality, praise God, everything is working for us. Amen. Praise God. Somebody gonna get this on the way home. When you're going through some things, it may appear that things are not just working for you. But don't you know that God takes everything and he puts it together for your good? I'm talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah. He takes it and put it together, and it's all for your good. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So God is for us. And the question is, if he is for us, who in the world can be against us? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Think about that question. Yeah. If God is for us, who can be against us? Yeah. Praise God. I know some papas say, man, there's a whole bunch of folks that's against me. Yeah. But let me tell you something, just because they're against you, that don't mean that they can do anything to hurt you. Because you got God on your side. Yeah. So we see that he is for us. God is for us. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, God is for us. Praise God. And that tells us there's no need for fear. I'm talking about nothing that his loving father desires, praise God, but only the best for his children, even if they go through trials in their life. Praise God. And they're still going to receive his best. You want to know why? Because way back, he told a prophet by the name of Jeremiah that I know your thoughts. He said, I have some thoughts for you. Praise God. Can I put that on the marquee? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Look what he says. He says, for I know the thoughts that you think toward, that I think towards you, saith the Lord. I'm talking about thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Do you know I know what my expected end is?
Yes, Lord. Yeah, Pastor.
I know what my expected end is. Praise God. On February 27th, 1979, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And way back in 1979, I knew what my expected end would be. You know what my expected end gonna be? Praise God. Y'all can take this to the bank. I'm going to stand before God one day, and God is going to tell me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, but I want you to come on up, praise God, and I'm going to make you a ruler over many. That's my expected end. That's it. I told y'all, if the rapture come, y'all can go on over to 180 Foxfire Lane. Pray God, take anything you want, because we won't be there. My wife and I are going to be gone. You want a car, take it. Amen. You want a van, take it. You want a Mercedes, take it. You probably have to jump a battery to get it started. Take it. Praise God. Amen. I won't be worrying about it. Amen. Amen. You want some land, take it. You want a zero turn, take it. Praise God, because I'm going to be out of here. Pray God. And if you're going to be back here looking for some junk, shame on you. Praise God. So God is with us. That's the first reason. So we shouldn't have to worry about the love of God leaving us. But the second reason that he puts in this text, he says that Christ died for us. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't you know something, neighbor?
Don't you know something, neighbor?
Christ died for you. Amen. Look what he says in verse number 2. He says that he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Praise God. You see, the argument here that Paul is making, praise God, is from the lesser to the greater. Now let me see if I can make that plain. You see, if we were sinners, and trust me, we were, God gave his best. I'm talking about when we were sinners. He gave his best. Praise God. And now that we are God's children, will he not give us all that we need? Man, if he gave his best,
yeah, go ahead,
praise God.
Yeah.
When I was out there on the floor doing the boogaloo, when he gave his best, when I was out there drinking and getting crazy out of my mind, and now that I am one of his, what do you think I expect out of him now? What do you think I expect out of him now? May not have a coin in my pocket, but guess what? Praise God. The calf on a thousand hill belonged to him. So that means that I at least got one heifer. Praise God. All the silver and gold belonged to him. That means that I at least got a couple of coins of gold somewhere. Praise God. And not only are the calf on a thousand hills here, the hill that the cows graze on.
He owned that too.
Praise God. He owned all of that.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm one of his children.
Yes,
and praise God. So that's I don't have to worry about that because I'm secure in his love. Christ died for us. But number three, praise God, God has justified us. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, you have been justified. Now you could say that if you have given your life to Christ. If you haven't given your life to Christ, don't you say that. Boy, why did y'all get so quiet? Why'd y'all get so quiet? If you have given your life to Jesus Christ and you meant it, God has justified you. Look what verse 3 says. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. You see, God has justified us, which means that he has declared us righteous in Christ Jesus. We were just talking about this on at Wednesday night Bible study, I believe. Sister Lee, I mentioned this. If believers could understand what that really means, praise God, don't you know that they would be jumping for joy? If believers really understood what that meant, praise God, that we are secure in the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, we are justified. We are God's elect. We are chosen, praise God, and we are accepted by Jesus Christ. And God will certainly not accuse us, amen, since it is he who has justified us. You see, for him to accuse us would mean that his salvation was a failure. Boy, I didn't get enough amens on that. Let me say that again, praise God. For him to accuse us, praise God, would mean that his salvation was a failure and that we are still in our sin. And let me tell you something. His salvation was not a failure. It wasn't a failure. Praise God. You see, when we understand the meaning of this word, justification, just as though you have never sinned. Praise God. I don't care what you have done. I don't care what you did this morning. I don't care what you're going to do tomorrow. Praise God, you have been justified by God if you are in Christ Jesus, because he saved you from your past sins, he saved you from your present sin, and guess what? He know that since you are in this stuff here, that you are vulnerable to commit a sin tomorrow. So when he died for you, he justified you. Praise God. Just as though you have not sinned. Praise God. You see, and when God declares the believing sinner righteous in Christ, that declaration never changes. No, it doesn't change. You see, your Christian experience changes from one day to another day. But justification never changes. Never change. It never change. We may accuse ourselves, and we may even be accused by other folk. Praise God. But God will never accuse us. I got one lawyer in here. Any other lawyers in here? Praise God. I know I got one lawyer in here. Praise God. See, God will never stand up and accuse you before God if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Because you do know he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Amen. You see, he will never do that. Why? Because he has already paid the penalty. Praise God, and we are secure in him. Yes. Amen. We are secure in him.
Yes.
So we find out first, God is for us.
Yes.
We find out second, praise God, that Christ died for us.
Yes.
And the third thing that we have found out, that God has justified us.
Yes,
but you want to know the next thing that this text lay out, that he has done, another reason why we don't ever worry about being separated from his love. Praise God, this one here are going to blow your socks off. Praise God, because Christ intercedes for us.
Yes.
Look at verse 34.
Amen.
Verse 34 say, who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. You see, there is a, what I call a dual intersection here. Because, praise God, if you go back to Romans chapter 8 and look at verses 26 and 27, put those on the marquee. I don't have them here on my notes here. Praise God. Verse 27, not Matthew's. I need Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Praise God. There it is. What does it say? It's likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us. Praise God, making with us groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart, past sins, he saved you from your present sin. And guess what? He know that since you are in this stuff here,
in the flesh,
that you are vulnerable to commit a sin tomorrow. So when he died for you, he justified you.
Yeah.
Praise God, just as though you have not sinned. Praise God. You see, and when God declares the believing sinner righteous in Christ, that declaration never changes. No, it doesn't change. You see, your Christian experience changes from one day to another day, but justification never changes.
It never changes.
We may accuse ourselves, and we may even be accused by other folk. Praise God. But God will never accuse us. I got one lawyer in here. Any other lawyers in here? Praise God. I know I got one lawyer in here. Praise God. See, God will never stand up and accuse you before God if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, because you do know he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Amen. You see, he will never do that. Why? Because he has already paid the penalty. Praise God, and we are secure in him. Amen. We are secure in him. So we find out first, God is for us. We find out second, praise God, that Christ died for us. And the third thing that we have found out, that God has justified us. But you want to know the next thing that this text lay out, that he has done, another reason why we don't ever worry about being separated from his love. Praise God, this one here are going to blow your socks off. Praise God, because Christ intercedes for us. Look at verse 34.
Amen.
Verse 34 say, who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. You see, there is a what I call a dual intersection here. Because, praise God, if you go back to Romans chapter 8 and look at verses 26 and 27, put those on the marquee. I don't have them here on my notes here. Praise God. Verse 27, not Matthew's. I need Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Praise God. That is. What does it say? It's likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us, praise God, with us groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart and knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Can I put a pen right there for a minute? Praise God. Because that scripture right there lets me know that the Spirit of God intercedes for us, praise God, when we are trying to pray and we don't even know what we want to pray for. Amen. And I'm glad we just celebrated all of those oxygenarians, and I'm headed in that direction. And then sometimes when we get to a certain age in life, we have a time, sometimes we forget things, praise God. So sometimes when I'm trying to pray, I may forget what I really want to say, but you want to know what? The Holy Spirit knows what I want to say. That's going to help a whole lot of people out. I was on the phone this morning, and I was praying, praise God, and I wanted to pray, praise God, for Sister Gladys Wilson. Those who are on the phone, y'all know it. Y'all were polite. Y'all didn't call her name. Praise God. I said, I want to pray for that lady that's out there in California, because I was having a senior moment. But you want to know something? The Holy Spirit knew exactly what I was talking about. So we see a dual intercession here. The reason I say that's a dual intercession, because if we look at our text, it not only says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that we can't even utter, but it also says that, praise God, that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he is also interceding for us. Isn't that what's in the text? Amen. Look what it says. You see, as our high priest, let me back up. In other words, the same Savior who died for us is now interceding, praise God, for us in heaven. Let me back up, because I didn't hear not one person say amen on that. The same Savior who died for us, praise God, is now interceding in heaven for us. You see, as our high priest, he gives us the grace we need to overcome temptations and to defeat our enemy. Praise God. How many of y'all have any, let me see the hands. Maybe I need to phrase this another way. Let me see the hand. Let me see the hands of anybody here who have never been tempted. So that means that everybody in here have been tempted some kind of way. He has a remedy for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, tells us this, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, praise God, to be tempted above that which you are able. But look what he goes on to do. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. What am I trying to say? Praise God, when those thoughts come into your mind that may not be pure, When those things, when one of your friends try to entice you to do something that is wrong, praise God. God, if you got the Spirit of God on the inside of you, if you are a child of God, praise God, He is going to give you a way to escape. Now, it's up to you to take the escape route.
Yeah. Yes, sir. That's good, Pastor.
Amen. The problem is that we got some folks, who think they're so big and bad they won't take God's escape route. You shouldn't go to this party tonight, but I've been preparing for this for the last, I done bought my beautiful dress, I done bought my beautiful shirt, but I don't think you ought to go tonight. But you know, if I don't go, my friends are gonna say something about it. I don't think you ought to go tonight. But you go, praise God, and when you get in that club, when you get in that place, wherever it is, somebody break out and start shooting, praise God. The bullet may not catch you, but praise God, but I guarantee you something. Praise God, the Spirit is going to come back to your shoulder. Say, didn't I tell you that I didn't think you should have gone? So He was trying to give you a way out, but you wouldn't take it. My brothers and my sisters, intercession means that Jesus Christ represents us before the throne of God, and we do not have to represent ourselves. Praise God. I don't know about you, my brothers and my sisters, but that's good news. That's good news. Amen. That's good news. You see, we are not only saved by His death, but we are also saved by His life. Amen. We find that Jesus intercedes for us. And it didn't just start with us. Praise God. I can take you all the way back. Praise God. Some of y'all know where I'm getting ready to go. Praise God. Where He had to intercede for His chief apostle. Amen. How many of y'all remember the story? Bible readers in here. No, Peter was about to go and deny Him. Praise God. You find this back, I believe it's Luke chapter 12. You'll find that Peter was getting ready to go and deny Christ. Praise God. And Christ had to talk to him.
Yes,
praise God. Y'all want to know the words He said to him? I say 12, but 22. Praise God. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 32. Look what He said to Peter. Praise God. When Peter was about to go off and do something that was really crazy, he was going to deny his God. But guess what? He spoke to him. He interceded for him. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. Praise God, and that he may what? Sift you as wheat. Anybody have ever seen a sifter? You young folks, y'all don't know what that is. Everything y'all get is already mixed and gone, ready to go. But when we older folks had to do a sifter, you would put that flour and put that stuff in that sifter, crank that thing like that, and it would sift out all of the good stuff would fall on in the pan, praise God, and then all that old hard stuff stay in there, you throw that in the trash can. So Satan wanted to sift him as wheat, but look how he interceded for him. He said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted. Now, he doesn't mean converted, I'm talking about giving his life, because Peter had already given his life. What he was trying to tell Peter, when you come back to your senses, Peter, when you come back to me, praise God, then I want you to go out now and strengthen those brethren of yours, praise God. So he interceded, praise God, he intercedes for each of us every day that we get up. Amen. So we have that's five reasons right there. Praise God. That's five. God is for us. Praise God. Christ died for us. God justifies us. And then what? Jesus intercedes for us. But let me give you number five as I get ready to get out of here. I'm not too long. It's just 20 minutes after. Praise God. I hope they got the I don't smell nothing. Look, Finally, as I get ready to go, praise God,